Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning, happy Friday, and welcome to the final Friday of 2017 and the 2017 season. Time for Jags Drive Time here on TuneIn Radio and on Twitter. Brian Sexton along with the senior writer John Osier.
How are you, usually John? Start off with what a great day it is. Didn't really apply today, does it?
Yeah, you know, the cold weather doesn't bother me. It bothers a lot of people. I was at Publix last night, and the lady said, "Don't you hate the weather?" And I smiled, and I said, "I love it. It
makes it feel like
the playoffs."
When I'm at a football game, and I'm in the press box, and you're on the side.
Yeah, you're going to do that one. You're going to do that again
weather.
To me, aren't you?
I love it.
I
live for it.
There's a part of me that wants to call you soft, but I'm too jealous, to be honest with you.
No, I'm good. I'm soft.
Like a marshmallow.
I am
like
soft,
a warm,
like a marshmallow.
Toasty marshmallow sitting in a steaming mug of hot chocolate. That'll be you on Sunday. I, on the other hand, will be a frozen ice cube.
You will, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, well, see, in your controlled environment, I will find my way up there at halftime to sit next to you. Put my arm around
you. Join me. I'll be there.
Share some of the cold.
I promise you I'll be there. I promise you that.
You're not getting too far. Let's bring in Ashlyn Sullivan and say good morning to her. The coach has been with us the last couple of weeks as we've started the show. He's not at this moment, though he'll join us. So it gives us the pleasure of bringing you the smiling face of Ashlyn Sullivan.
Well, thank
you. Hi, Ashlyn. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. You're the younger member of our set. I think people can probably obviously see that. Do you have big New Year's plans?
I do not. We're working. It's a big game.
I know, but I mean, you'll be done before midnight. The question is, I'm going to ask this guy too. I'm not going to ask the coach, by the way. Just don't even worry about that. Big New Year's plans or no?
No, big New Year's plans. It's football.
All right. John, I'll get to you before the show is out. Ashlyn, how about big thing number one to start us off?
So does winning this Sunday mean anything to the Jaguars? And I think yes, not with stats and numbers, but you're locked into the three seed, but it's about pride this win. You can't get swept by the Titans and hold that AFC South hat as high if that happens. Now going into the playoffs, you need this win. You need it for pride. You need it for confidence.
I tend to agree. Now, the conventional wisdom in football is forget all of that stuff. Rest. But if our executive producer extraordinaire, Pat Cavanaugh, could throw up the slide, this to me is why you play to win on Sunday. Pro Bowl, all pro, really. Jarrell Casey is a sensational football player. Defensive tackle, you can read it. We're going to sweep the division other than losing to Houston, but we can't win the division. That's the part that sucks. They won't even technically beat us and win the division. It is what it is. They're supposed to be the king of the South, and we're ready to see that. All right. So they came in here, and they already beat you once. And you're the division winner, and that's the way the division is won in professional football. It's not just the games that you play within the division. But to me, you want to go up there and establish it, because you're probably going to see them again in the playoffs. I mean, the strongest probability is that you are go up there and play well. Go up there and play physical. Go up there and win.
Well, I think in a normal circumstance, rest would make sense. A lot of different things would make sense. I don't think these comments are why they're going to play their starters.
No.
But I certainly saw on Wednesday a element of focus and of motivation that I've covered a lot of teams that have been locked into their seeds going into the final week, the final 2 weeks, and usually the game is spoken about in sort of a have-to tone. Like, we've got to go play this, and it's fine. The comments of Casey caused four or five different guys to feel very motivated entering a game, which I think is unusual for a team that's got it locked up. So I think it does matter.
Just big picture, rivalry-wise. You know, the old AFC Central had some rivalries in it. When the Jaguars came to the South, it was almost, if you recall, a leftover division, right? The teams that didn't fit in the West, the South, or I'm sorry, the West, the North, or the East. And so the rivalries are important. And the Titans rivalry has always been important for the Jaguars. You know, they were the first game here when they were the Oilers, and they knocked them out of the Super Bowl back in 1999, which
first
is on
win.
Everyone's
mind. Yeah. First win in 95.
All of that.
Game over there.
Yeah. All of that stuff makes this important. And so I love the rivalry side. I get that you need to distance yourself from the emotion of it sometimes, but it's been an emotional week around here. And we'll talk about that with the coach when he comes in. The rivalry is so important in the South as those things. Because they're not so geographic.
Well, it's sort of secondary, but it would be for the players, I think, and probably for the coaches, cool after this game to be able to talk. they didn't really get to celebrate the South last week. And you do get the idea a win this week would have more of a celebratory tone, certainly, than San Francisco. And I think that would be cool for the guys.
All right. The coach is nearby, so we will take a quick break. When we return, head coach Doug Marrone joins us on Jags Drive Time on what I think is a beautiful Friday morning. I like this. It feels like the playoffs, which are right around the corner. Back in 60 seconds. Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
Hey, you can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
Jags fans, experience EverBank Field in an entirely new way. Visit Jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named EverBank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit Jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
We're back on Jack's Drive Time here on TuneIn Radio and on Twitter. You see that tarp up in the upper corner? It's coming off, not today, but figuratively, it is coming off today. Tickets on sale in those sections and the corresponding sections on the north side of that upper deck. 3,500 in all. 10 o'clock, Jaguars.com/playoffs is where you go to get those tickets this morning. Brian Sexton, along with John Osier and head coach Doug Marrone. And I've been chastised enough on this show about focus. I get it, coach. But can we just for a sec talk about what we've seen this week? A playoff game selling out 10 days in advance. They're taking the tarps off. And 10 days in advance, this place is going to be hopping. This is really cool to see, especially for those of us who've been around here for quite a while, to see where this franchise has come this year. It's been an emotional and fun week.
Well, I think so, especially, you know, it always goes back to what I said before that, you know, early on, you know, we have to earn that, you know, that home field advantage. And it's been building, you know, during the season. And like I said, I for us as a team, obviously, you know, we put a lot of work in. We've worked extremely hard, the coaches, everyone else in the organization. But really, for me, I can't speak for everybody else, but for me, the joy is you know, watching people wear Jaguar gear and feeling proud of their football team and you know, being able to probably on Monday to be by the water cooler and saying, hey, listen, you know, this is pretty cool, you know, with the team and what they're doing, and we like the direction and things of that nature. And I just think, as you know, from a fan standpoint, and we've all been fans in some sports, you know, obviously, you know, I attended Syracuse. I'm a big Syracuse basketball fan. Yeah. And, you know, I'll wear a Syracuse shirt around and people will say, hey, did you go to Syracuse? And I'm proud, you know, when a team does well. When a team doesn't do well, it's tough to wear those shirts and defend that team. So, you know, I feel like, you know, the community has given so much support to us and it's been a long time since we've been able to give something back to them. And, you know, we have to, you know, this is a way of giving something back. But, you know, at the end of the day, we still want to make sure that we're performing and winning football games.
Just to follow up on that. Wherever I was out running errands last night. People were telling me they're coming to Nashville this weekend. And I guess the Bold City Brigade has their big trip up there. There's going to be a nice group of fans that are on the road in Nashville for this division game. People are excited about this football team.
Yeah, I mean, when we've been on the road this year, you know, outside of really the long trip last week to, you know, San Fran, and there were a couple, you know, we've had a pretty good contingency of fans that have been there. You know, I know up in Pittsburgh, I remember we had a big group behind the bench, and you know, those things are all great. You know, I mean, we really, you know, appreciate that, because we know that, at least I do, that there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into, and you know, finances and things of that nature. You know, obviously, and you know, you do all that, you want to be able to give those people something in return, and the only way to do that is to win a game.
You bet.
You talked very early on this week about, hey, we're playing this game to win. it sounded from listening to you both days like that was a very easy and maybe not even a decision for you.
Yeah, I keep saying the same thing. If they keep score, we're playing to win. I mean, it's as really as simple as that, and I think that's what's, you know, best for our team. You know, we have a young team, and you know, we need to continue to get better. You know, and this gives us an opportunity to play together and get better. We, you know, it's not like we've been together the whole year. We've got some different pieces coming into play, you know, in some positions that we've had some injuries. So, you know, we want to go out there and play to win.
The receiver core in particular has just been bludgeoned. It seems like you just can't get a break there. Where does that group stand now, Coach? How's the week been on the practice field, and how comfortable are you with where you stand?
I feel comfortable. I mean, everyone's trending in the right direction. Everyone's, you know, we're above the stages of, you know, now it's just a matter of being on the field and how it looks on the field. So, you know, I think that's the final stage of everything. So that's where you want to be, you know, be able to make a decision, you know, based upon what you're seeing on the field. You know, you can't make any decisions when they're not on the field.
Right. How about the group in general? You talked earlier this week about you believe you can get better week to week, especially late in the season. Are you seeing that from Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook and Jadon Mickens?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we had a really good day yesterday. You know, went out there and had a good practice. It was fast and, you know, really a lot of energy. And, you know, we're looking for the same thing today. And it's just, you know, those guys playing together and playing different positions and, you know, working with Blake and that nature, you continue to get better. You get a better feel. And, you know, they're young football players. And the more practice they can get, you know, the better chance of a better performance on Sunday out of them.
Brian talked about the receivers. Obviously, they've huge change even this season at that spot. A lot of young guys, a lot of injured guys. But the one constant, Nate Hackett's talked about it all year, the one constant has been Blake on offense. And he's been there and he's been there through it all. I guess just talk about the job he's done in that situation, being sort of the rock of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been constant. I think, you know, someone else, you know, Mercedes has done a really nice job also with the tight end position. They've been pretty much constant, you know, throughout the year. And, you know, I think that it's obviously that's if you had one position, that's the one, you know, that you would want to be constant. But it's not unexpected. You know, I think that some things get taken for granted, you know, with Blake. And I've said this before. I think the one thing, you know, his greatest asset is his toughness. You know, he can, you know, he does get hit. He bounces back up. He's able to run the football, bounce back up. He has a very, you know, he's a very, very big time competitor. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, his mindset is always going out there and trying to do the best he can. So, but having him, you know, be the constant and has been able to get us where we can continue to get better.
Anybody who's talked about this game on Sunday has talked about how physical they expect it to be. It's obviously a divisional game. The rivalry is there. You know, they won the game in week two down here. I think I expect it to be a really chippy game just between these two teams. So the question is, how do you get your team, Coach, to play with that edge on defense that you want them to play with and not go over the emotional line like they did a week ago?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we keep talking to them about it and, you know, trying to show them how it hurts the team. And, you know, and it's more of an education experience of, you know, being able to handle your emotions and making sure that, you know, the greater the adversity that occurs, you know, whether it's during a game or whether it's during a season, the greater the adversity, the more the team should come together to support each other. And the team obviously has to come first. And I think when you're an individual and adversity hits and things become tough, if you're an individual and not a team player, you're going to gravitate away from the team, you know, and pull away. And that's not what, you know, you want to do to be a very good football team. So, you know, those things are still going on where, you know, we're constantly talking to the players, coaches, you know, constantly trying to educate the team, you know, and try to grow as a team, you know, as the season moves on.
It's easy to forget how young this team is sometimes on that front.
Oh, I don't forget.
Well, you know what I thought was cool, and Coach, you probably didn't see Malik's feature this week with Aaron Colvin, but, you know, the two of them famously had the disagreement last week, and they were laughing and yucking it up and talking about the emotion of the game and how that's how they play and how they understand it. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, what happens is when it happens a lot. It really does. I mean, you know, now some coaches might say, no, I'm just saying from my standpoint, having been a player – and then obviously an assistant coach, a coordinator, this stuff happens quite a bit. It's just a lot of times it's not caught on tape. And when it is, you know, all of a sudden it kind of gets blown up. But, you know, things like that happen in practice. It's a very, very emotional game. I think that, you know, there is a lot of work put into, each individual game every week by everyone around the league. So, you know, when you see an outburst, you know, like if I see one, you know, obviously on our team, I have a better feel. But if I see one like if on another team, you know, I say, man, you know, I'm sure that, you know, the players are going to be fine. It's, you know, how it's going to be talked about in the media, you know, and trying to cause a riff that, you know, I've never really seen that happen, you know, unless it was a personal attack, one player to another player, you know, about something personal that's happening, you know, in the business.
It feels like you'd almost be more worried if you didn't see that. Sometimes.
Well, you know, I think it's a fine line. You want to be all in, you know, you want that emotion. You want those players to support each other in a certain way. And then I think, you know, we're constantly, and this doesn't go just now. You know, this goes back to when we were first together, you know, that unity is power. You know, I've said that many times to this football team, you know, and what is a good teammate and things of that nature. So this is something that, and I do believe that, I can't say all, but I know a lot of coaches in this league, you know, we all preach that and we're all working towards that. And we have to, you know, keep doing it and keep doing a better job of it.
If folks want to see it, Jackson 5 is up on Jaguars.com. One last thought, division title shirts as Christmas presents for the family in Tennessee. Drops him off.
I'm really just focused on how about just a win for a Christmas present for all those the family in Tennessee.
Everyone will take that, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Head coach Doug Marone, thanks for joining us this week and all season long.
Great. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We're back in 60 seconds with one more block of Jags Drive Time.
Experience EverBank Field in an entirely new way. Visit Jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named EverBank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit Jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
Hey, you can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
Back to Jags Drive Time on this Friday morning, here with you with big thing number two, Titans twice. We're looking back here to the 1999 season when the Jags played the Titans three times and lost all three times. Now, if the Jaguars lose to the Titans this week, Titans are in the playoffs, and you have a chance to now play the Titans three times in one season, being in the wild card game. So now, guys, looking forward, if that does happen, what do you think is the most favorable matchup in the wild card?
Well, it's interesting.
She's got Titan angst.
Well, there's a lot of that going around.
All right.
There's
all
a
right.
lot of that going around. The similarities are a little eerie, you know.
I know. You've got it, too.
The Jags, well, big Super Bowl bonus that was not delivered because of the Titans and a ring. Anyway, so we're talking about the Titans, and it really is probably the most favorable matchup. It's probably who you want to see. You know, do you want Phillip Rivers, Pro Bowl, you know, Hall of Fame number type quarterback coming in here, or would you rather have a Titans team with Marcus Mariota that you know that you match up against, or the Bills? I mean, where's the most favorable matchup? I tend to think it is Tennessee.
See, to me, the Chargers worry you because the defense is so good, and you have Phillip Rivers, who, out of the bunch, you know, I think he worries you more than Flacco right now. So out of the bunch in terms of quarterbacks, that's the quarterback, and quarterback always scares you in the playoffs. I don't know that Tennessee is far and away the most favorable matchup, but I think they're in that group. And I don't think they should scare you. They're a team that hasn't been playing very well down the stretch. And if it wasn't for the logo and the uniform and the history,
yeah, you wouldn't
I don't think
angst.
People would be that worried about it. And people are worried about losing to a team three times when you've only lost to them once.
Right.
So it's a little over the top. It's a little much. I get it. I don't think it's a big deal back down the hallway.
Well, we should have learned from Jalen Ramsey before the Seahawks game. You know, right. You all hype who you want to hype. And what he's saying is stop applying the conventional right. wisdom to us. That's
and
not who we are.
Even if it's an L this week up there, you got to remember, and I think it probably will be, by the way, only because I'm a big believer that a half-2 team usually beats a team that's just playing for itself. But even if that happens, the playoffs are a different beast. Once that game starts on Saturday, Sunday, whenever it is, the adrenaline's different, the mood's different, the better team will win. I think the Jaguars win next week. I don't think they win this week.
And this is an adrenaline team. Make no mistake about
absolutely.
It. You're going to have, you know, by the time they sell the 3,500 tickets that they'll sell today, and standing room only, you're going to have a crowd somewhere close to 70,000 people here. Well, you know, the tickets were gone. They allowed season ticket holders to buy them. You're not going to have a Titans contingent here
no.
like we've seen of other teams' fans in recent years.
You'll see one or two because that's the way it
oh,
is.
Oh, sure.
But that's what it is.
Because people sell their tickets on the secondary market when they decide they can't go. But what I'm saying is the adrenaline is different. This is an adrenaline team. The playoff game here will be a completely different story.
Absolutely.
All right. Ashlyn, big thing number three.
Blake versus Marcus. Now, going back to the 2015 season, and you're asking the question, are either of these quarterbacks the answer for a long-term franchise quarterback? Looking back at that game in 2015, you would have thought both. Both quarterbacks had a fantastic game. I was looking at the numbers. Blake went 24 for 36 that day, 5 touchdowns, 322 yards. Marcus went for 3 touchdowns, 268 yards. So back in 2015, that was a good day for both of them.
And he ran for an 85-yard touchdown, too. He got away from Telvin Smith, and that was something special. I mean, that guy has it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't help but think, watching that day, hey, we got a nice rivalry, a nice matchup here for years to come with these two quarterbacks. Then last year, Mariota takes a big step forward, and Blake does not. This year, Blake rebounds. Mariota steps back, which, by the way, seems to be the life curve of a young quarterback in today's NFL. Up, down, up, down, up, down, until you find some consistency. Your thoughts on the quarterback matchup?
Well, I think it's exactly right. It the careers of both of these guys so far speaks to how we want to anoint guys right off the bat, and then second year, third year, if it's not a steady ascension, then all of a sudden it's, we've got to get rid of this guy. It's terrible. We've got to start over. It's not a franchise guy. I think both of them still have a chance to grow into that. I've been surprised at Mariota's season so far. My understanding is the lack of mobility from a hamstring injury has really hurt him in terms of defenses have been able to play them different. He hasn't been as good throwing to outside receivers and throwing the ball from the pocket as they had hoped. And also remember, he missed the entire off excuse me. He missed the entire off season. So when you miss an entire off season as a young quarterback, there's all sorts of game planning, prep. He spent time rehabbing rather than preparing for the season. For young quarterbacks, it's very difficult. I think both of them will be fine.
All right. Time for he will, he won't, he might, and we'll leave off with you today, John.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Well,
you.
I'm going to go fast because my voice is going, and I'm going to go with the coach. He will play the starters. He won't be dumb about it, though. I don't think it's going to be an all-in approach where he's playing Calais Campbell 75% of the snap. I think he's going to rest some guys and be smart about it. And he might be the coach of the year.
Ashlyn.
Wow, changing it up with a coach pick, John. I like that. All right, mine is Allen Hurns. He will play. Now, don't hate me if he doesn't, but on Thursday, that ankle was taped up, but he was running routes, looking really good, and keeping up with Colin Westbrook like it was no one's business. And it showed to many that he looks ready to go. Now, he might... I don't think there's any reason to push him this week, but it's perfect opportunity to get some live reps with Blake before a really important week next week. And he won't... He might be just what this offense needs right now, a breath of fresh air and relief that you got one of your key guys back at just the right time.
All right, and I'll go with Jalen Ramsey, and I'll say that he's the Jags' best player on defense and maybe overall their best player, and he'll play like it on Sunday in his hometown. He was unusually calm.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the emotion of last week's game.
Oh, that was impressive, by the way. I know you're going with this.
Yeah, and in the locker room showed leadership for a young player. I don't think he ever worried about leadership, but I watched as he was trying to get a hold of Yannick Ngakoue there in the fourth quarter, and I was really impressed, and I thought that was a major step forward. So he'll play like the Jags' best player on Sunday. He won't give up another touchdown this playoff season. I get the sense, going back to 1996, when Tony Boselli was this team's best player, and he rose against pass rushers like Bruce Smith in Buffalo, Alfred Williams and Neil Smith in Buffalo, in Denver.
Denver, right.
Yeah, and Willie McGinest in New England. So I say that he is sensational in the playoffs. He won't give up another touchdown pass. And he might have something to say by the time the playoffs are over. I never leave when Jalen is talking. I'll get what I need, right? Max on the camera, and I'll skate out to go get someone else. I always wait till the very last minute because I don't know that we've ever had a personality as large as his, right? And he backs that talk up and makes it fun.
Had large personalities, but not quite as never know what he's going to say. That makes it fun.
Ashland's is pretty big.
Yes.
Yeah.
You never know what I'm going
to
say.
Yeah. You never know. We always want to know. So that'll do it for Jags Drive Time, the final one of the regular season, final one of 2017. We'd like to wish you all a very happy new year, and we'll talk to you on Sunday from, what do they call it, Nissan Stadium.
Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, Nissan Stadium. That's one of the tricky parts about going back and forth. Nissan Stadium in Nashville. Thanks for joining us on Jags Drive Time.